And we're back, Mr. Ripe Show podcast on a Tuesday. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for tuning in. Big week in, different week, I should say, but big. Big as far as the world stage is concerned. It's the Olympics. We take a little time away from the PGA Tour, from LIV Golf, whatever floats your boat. And we play for something a little bit different this week. Not so much cash, but for your country. The Olympics in France are underway. And four rounds coming at you from a course that I think most Americans would probably just like to see go away after the 2018 Ryder Cup. And to help us break it all down, our man from at Read the Line, Keith Stewart. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, the only place that's hotter than Paris right now is Read the Line. So it's been a good week, man. I got no complaints, you know?
Well,
I got
Let's start with it, because if you were listening last week, you heard a spicy debate between myself and Keith. And I brought up a name by a guy by the name of Chan Kim, who I liked. And I was like, you know, I like this guy or something. He's a good ball striker. You know, his putting's not quite there yet. And you interrupted me. And I was kind of waiting for you to, like, talk me off of him, right? Because that's what I do. I throw names at you. And I confessed last week about the types of players that I talk myself into. And so I brought up another one in Chan Kim, and you interrupted me, and you said no. He says, look, I'm going to give you another 10 years of experience on Chan Kim, and this is a guy that plays well in these types of venues.
Yeah.
And the name that you said was at 80-1, Johnny Vegas. And Johnny Vegas wins at Read the Line on fire. Not only did he win the PGA Tour, folks, but he picked the winner on the LPGA Tour. That's why we have him. He's the man. Congratulations.
A double win Sunday, a return of 120-1, because wow. Lauren Coughlin has just been playing absolutely spectacular on the LPGA Tour, and they played a really difficult golf course up there in Canada for the Women's Canadian Open, and her ball striking just set her apart. She birdies the 17th hole on Sunday, gets the job done, 40-1 on top of Johnny's 80, and Read the Line, baby.
Yeah, it was an awesome pick. Good discussion. But you didn't talk me off of Chan Kim, so... Anyway, we'll try that again here this week, perhaps with some names. But that's a good segue. You said difficult course up in Canada. And, we've got ourselves a pretty difficult course here this week as we move it ahead to France. And we try to pick another winner. And, of course, this week the winner's going to win a gold medal, which is pretty cool. Xander won it 4 years ago for the United States. And no one is playing better golf than Xander Schauffele from the men's side. And we're looking at 60 players for the men in the field. But this golf course, Le Golf National, right, in France, they're playing the Albatross course. You remember from 2018 in the Ryder Cup when the rough was like, you know, head high, just barely off of the fairway. And I don't think we're up against it this week as far as that kind of rough right off the immediate fairway. I think there's going to be more of a gradual type of rough. But nonetheless, you know, I've done some research about this golf course on the DP World Tour that they play there every year, open to France. And it's a difficult course, right? This is one of the more difficult golf courses, even on the DP World Tour. It's not going to have quite the rough that we saw in the Ryder Cup. But for our viewers, give us a little background on this course and the kind of player it favors.
Well, Le Golf National is certainly going to be one of those venues that's going to favor precision over length. So we're looking for some accuracy. It's a positional golf course. You know, much like the 3M last week, or we were talking about Earl Grey Golf Club up there in Canada for the ladies, you have to really put the ball in the fairway here. Now, there's been a lot of speculation on if the rough's lower than the rough's always going to be lower than it was in the Ryder Cup. Right. But as a DP World Tour event, the average winning score over the last 5 years here is about 12 under par. So that's the equivalent of a middle tier, middle difficulty type PGA Tour course. So this is not a birdie fest. Mm-hmm. And it is one of those places where I think that there's some forced layups off the tee. There is also some par fives you can get at. There's some short par fours, but then there's some very difficult par fours. There's not a lot of trees out on this property. So there's not a lot of things to line your eye up with. I think probably the biggest thing I'm favoring this week, Travis, is course history and course experience. We have 30 rookies out of 60 guys. So half the field has never played this golf course in competition before. All four Americans weren't there in 2018. And that's probably a good thing. But it's also probably a good thing. But at the end of the day, the Ryder Cup being match play and the way they manipulated the course layout and everything, I would discount all of that. And I would just stick with the Open de France, which is played in the fall, which is a 72-hole individual stroke play event on the DP World Tour. Those would be the events I would be looking at the course history, and I would want to know, you know, what types of players had played well there. You have in 2018, Alex Noren, he's in the field this week. In 2017, you had Tommy Fleetwood win there. He's in the field this week. A very, very top-heavy field. It really, as a golf fan, it's almost a huge benefit because we weren't going to see the LIV guys against Scotty and Xander for the rest of the, you know, for the rest of the year. Now we got Rahm, who's in good form. He just won LIV London, and he's going to go right back at these guys a couple weeks after Royal Troon. So I think that's going to be a ton of fun to watch. But overall, everyone's going to tell you about, you know, approach play from long range. They're going to say, hit the fairway, do this. Like, I'm really just thinking about who's played this golf course before, who's had success here, and who can repeat that. Because with all the distractions that are going on in the Olympic Games, you know, guys watching other sports, traveling in Paris with their wives, doing whatever they're doing, right? The more time, you don't have that time to prepare like you would for a major championship. And these guys, are when they get over to the golf course, their days are very scheduled, their routines are very scheduled. So if you know the golf course, I think it's a huge advantage. And those six names at the top of the betting board, only two of them have played there before. One's Rory. He's got two top fives there. And then Rahm, he's got two top tens. But the other four guys at the top, Colin, Ludwig, and, of course, Scotty and Xander, they haven't competed there before. So for me, that's the biggest edge. But overall, I mean, you covered the design, you know, characteristics and the skills needed in order to try to contend.
Sounds like we're going to have some graduated rough is what it's going to be. You know, okay, you're off the fairway. It's not overly penal. And then, okay, well, now we're into the second. All right, we can do a little bit with it. And then the third, I think, is more of what we were seeing back in 2018. Of course, they set it up that way to take the power out of the Americans game, take to, you know, really neutralize the driver. And, of course, these guys just got boat raced. What was it, 17 and a half to 10 and a half, something like that, I think, was the Ryder Cup. And it's just fascinating. You go through this. I had to check it twice. That these four Americans in Scheffler, Schauffele, Morikawa, and Wyndham Clark, they were not on the team at all. No. And so it's crazy to think just back in 2018, none of them were on the team. And so they come there for the first time, to your point. And it feels like a golf course that it would certainly benefit to work yourself around a little bit. I think your points are valid there. I've certainly taken that in consideration as I kind of give some early leans up at the top of the board and who I think will do well. But we're going to do something a little bit differently this week. Usually we give you our first click and then we kind of go from there. But let's kind of talk about it just from the context of gold, silver, and bronze, because that's really what we're after here. And I know there'll be some other bets there, but that's, you know, that's what's cool about the Olympics games. There was something, Keith, and I'll just start with this. You know, watching some of these interviews and not seeing these guys just, you know, obviously decked out in their sponsorships and this and that. I mean, just sitting there representing their country. You know, I mean, that's the only thing that's on their body is the flag. It's just, I don't know. It's just cool, right? Like this week is cool with everything that's happened in the game, the divisiveness between the tours and all about money and this and that. And this week, it's just the country, right? And you're representing your country. And I think that means more to some probably than others. You know, it means more to some than others, but at the same time, just watching these four guys sit there in United States gear is pretty cool.
No doubt about it. My biggest question this week is, what is your motivation for being there?
Yep.
Because that has to be the ultimate driving factor towards success and how willing you are to get the hard work in when you can amongst all of these Olympic schedules and the things that you're doing. And, you know, these guys are required to play at their very best, and they've got a lot going on. And I feel like some guys think of this as an exhibition, and I think others that, you know, really are motivated to get themselves a medal. It kind of takes me back to, and you'll get a good laugh out of this, because I was looking it up. I go, you know, I remember Matt Kuchar winning bronze in Rio, but who went? Who went the first time? Who could the U.S. Olympic Committee get to represent us? You ready for this list? So Matt Kuchar won the bronze. Ricky Fowler went, okay, popular guy in 2016.
Got a tat. Bubba,
what?
He got a tat, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, tattoo on the arm, yeah. And then the other two guys were Bubba Watson and Patrick Reed.
Yeah.
What are we doing, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, and nobody wanted to go. Remember, DJ's like, yeah, I don't know, Zika virus, I'm not going. You know, like, right. He was like number one, you know, like, so it's really interesting now that we've got four guys in the top six in the world. You can argue what you want about Wyndham Clark, but like the world rankings are what they are and the system is, and maybe it should be Bryson over Wyndham, but the other three guys are legit, you know, like, and they want to be there and they want to win Olympic gold. So I think the motivation, if whomever you want to think about to win a medal, how are they intrinsically motivated in order to get across the finish line come Sunday, to me is the ultimate weight this week. Like, you know, so strokes gained, Olympics. What do you got for me? That's where my head's at.
So let's get into it. All right, who can win the gold? All right, I mean, we have to start at the top of the board. And sure. And obviously, all these guys can win the gold. We know that. We're not, you know, saying that Scottie Scheffler can't win the gold, right? But if we had to kind of look away, and Scheffler's putter obviously now has become a little more of an issue here as of late than where he was earlier in the season, as I predicted on the show at the beginning, winning six times. But that's neither here nor there. We'll leave that alone.
I remember that conversation back in January.
You looked at me like I was talking in Japanese.
And, you know, and you were so steadfast in like your determination. You're like, he's going to win five times or more. He's going to figure out the putter, Keith. He's going to go nuclear all year. And I was like, man, I don't know. If he hasn't figured out the putter by now, you know, like, I get he'll win because he's that good at ball striking, but like, is he going to go nuts? And then to your credit, man, you know, the guy's gone otherworldly, which is great, you know?
So Scheffler, all right, let's just talk. Who can win the gold for the Americans and give us our lead? I'm going to start there. All right. And so
just for the Americans.
Just with the Americans, the four Americans.
Okay. All right.
Xander's the guy. We know them. And the guy's just playing incredible golf right now. His coach, Chris Cuomo, is going to join me on the podcast. We're probably going to launch that tomorrow. We got a lot to discuss there.
All right, yeah, I would think.
But I just, when I look at this course and I break it down, it just absolutely screams Colin Morikawa, doesn't it? I mean, this course is Colin Morikawa right here. I just, in the way he's playing, I'm going with Morikawa at 12-1 as my number one guy for the Americans. Then I would go Xander. Then I would go Scotty Wyndham.
I
know that's, I mean, that's, what are you thinking? Like, he's two majors, and Andrew playing the best golf of his life. Yeah.
I still think it's between Xander and Scotty. If we're just talking about the Americans, I've got to go with the best players. There's a reason why those guys keep winning over Colin. And you're right, the course fit is great, but what course doesn't fit? I mean, those two guys could be playing on the moon and they're going to make 20 birdies in 72 holes. I mean, they're that good. I would give a slight edge to Xander over Scotty, only because since they both don't know the golf course, chances are they're going to miss a couple greens. They're going to miss a couple fairways, and Xander's been better at scrambling overall, which is the inclusion of putting alongside your short game. Certainly Xander and Scotty are both very, very accomplished around the green guys, but, I'd have to give Xander, I mean, you know, I always say this. I was like, do we live in a world where like Taylor Pendrith is winning twice this year? Do we live in a world, you know, like Jake Knapp's winning twice? Do we live in a world where Xander's winning two majors and he's going to defend the gold medal? I mean, it's pretty unbelievable, but we've seen some unbelievable things this year.
Yes, we have. Yeah, we've seen some unbelievable things this year. And keep in mind, the last time 4 years ago, Rory Sabatini won silver. So let's just, you know, kind of start there that these things can happen, right?
Well, talk about crazy things. That was one of the wildest things I will never forget in watching golf, because every time you watch golf, and you and I are conditioned to this, I've watched golf my whole life, there's a playoff for first place, right? Because you can't tie for first, but everybody else just ties and they pay them out and it is what it is, right? Unless there's some sort of like USGA event where there's a tie for the 64th match play spot or something like that, but that's like a totally different situation. You remember when in Japan, when they had a 7-man playoff for the bronze medal? So Xander knew he won. Roy Sabatini, Slovakia's favorite son, he won the silver, right? Then you had CT Pan. Okay, I remember all these. CT Pan, Paul Casey, Mito Pereira, Rory McIlroy, Colin Morikawa, Sebastian Munoz, and the last one, Japan's Hideki Matsuyama. So you had seven guys going for one medal, and that was as an intense a playoff and it was for third place as I've ever seen. Like, those guys are playing for their countries. They were all decked out in their country colors. I mean, that to me is what makes this week so very, very interesting and compelling at the same time.
All right, so let's go to the other two that we didn't mention, because the Americans have three of the top five in odds right now. McIlroy and Rahm, they're both right around 10 to 1.
Yeah.
And who's it mean more to of those two? Who's it mean more?
Oh, I think it goes way beyond medals for Rahm. I think it means more to him because he hasn't shown up all – he's gotten whooped all year by Scotty and Xander.
Yep.
I don't think he feels the same way about Rory because their competitive timeline goes further back than that. Mm-hmm. And he's had his wins versus Rory. He's had his wins – you know, Rory's had his wins versus Rahm. But Rahm's really been upstaged this year by the Americans, and you know that that drives the Europeans nuts. So here on European soil, I think Rahm comes into this thing, especially like Rory too, but like I think Rahm coming off his win last week at Live London, he played the best of anyone in the worst wave at Royal Troon for the weather. I think Rahm is – if odds didn't matter, I would pick Rahm to win the gold.
Me too. Yeah, that was my first pick. I think Rahm has now found his game. He's putting together. He finally gets the win and Live. I think it meant something to him there last week for sure.
Yeah.
And I agree. I think, you know, Rahm's had some experience on this course, you know, and I agree. I think he has been kind of getting whipped for most of the year. And now that he's playing some good golf and the boys are back in town and everybody's together, it just, you get the feeling that Rahm's there and it's business, man. Like he wants this one. Yeah, he wants this one. So yeah, Rahm is Rahm and then on the American side, Morikawa are my, are my 1 and 1A from a gold. All right, so let's stretch it now a little bit. If you had to, how far are you going to go down the board here? If you're looking for some odds, you know, is there anybody in the 15, 20, 30 to 1 that you could see walking out of here with the gold medal?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Okay. There's two guys I really like. Okay. As you get into the, you know, the mid-20s and then even into the low 30s, where they posted to start the week and their numbers are dropping. So it's Tuesday. I'd get on this. It's not much is going to change before Thursday. That's for sure. And one of them, he was a flag bearer for his country. So again, that motivation question, does this guy want to be here? Yes, he wants to be here. Has he been playing well? Well, you know what? Shane Lowry's been playing some great golf. And if we need accuracy off the tee, if we need ball striking, then this place is a superior fit for him. He has played in the Open de France a bunch of times. He's got a couple top 20 results here, so he knows the golf course. He's in better form than almost he's ever been, except the one time in 2019 when he embraced winning the Open Championship in his home country with the pressure of the home fans and all of that and not hosting an Open Championship in, what, 50, 60 years and hadn't been to Portrush and when it came in 2019. And that seemed to be an environment that Shane Lowry flourished in my mind. So if the ball striking's there, if the course fit is there, and you're looking for somebody who's motivated by something like a medal, by country pride, then to me, Shane Lowry is somebody that we got to be talking about this week because he checks all the boxes, especially the motivation one for me.
I think that's a good one. There's two guys that I'm kind of kicking back and forth. One of them that I think's on a nice track didn't play well at the Open Championship, and I think that's going to hurt him a little bit as far as being up there, and that's Tom Kim. I think it means something to him too. Young guy.
Boy.
You saw what it meant playing in the President's Cup to him, and he elevated his game. I mean, Tom Kim elevated his game in the President's Cup. I think Tom Kim, these types of events – I think it means something to him. I really do. And we've seen that. And I think that matters. And I like where he's going with his ball striking. He is steadily improving. That miss in the Open Championship or the miscut in the Open Championship, I think probably hit him pretty hard. But he was 15th at the Scottish. He was second at the Travelers. And I think he's becoming a bit of a complete player. I mean, we need to get it to, what, 13 under here probably? Is probably 14, maybe. It depends on the weather. I know there's maybe one or two days there might be a little bit of weather. But Tom Kim's one that I think if you kind of look down the board, and anytime we start getting into this kind of golf course and we don't have to get at the 21, 22 under, and this might be a little bit of a just more of a sentimental bet for me because there's outside of the United States, if I had to pick one guy to win the gold medal, it'd be Corey Connors.
All right.
It'd be Corey Connors. I think that's the guy that I would love to see win the gold medal for Canada. He has seen his Canadian counterparts do very well in big moments over the last year.
Yeah.
And cool. Corey Connors is a ball striking machine, folks. I mean, he is a ball striking machine. And so this dude will keep it in the short grass. Yeah. He will hit plenty of greens and he doesn't need to get it to 21 under. And I think he's made some incremental improvements in putting. Hey, Corey Connors, get it to 14, maybe 15, chip in once or twice. Get yourself a gold medal. Corey Connors, that would be pretty cool.
All right. Well, yeah, ball striking totally fits with Connors. But to go back to your point about Tom Kim, and I hadn't considered Charlotte and the President's Cup, how fired up he was to play for a team and a jersey and all of that. But
unbelievable.
Consider this for a second. Mm-hmm. He and Ben Ahn, right? He's 22 years old. This guy's the limit of his career, right? Mm-hmm. He's 22 years old. At some time between now and the next 13 years, he faces mandatory military service. He's got to go join the Army for a couple of years, right? And we've seen that destroy careers
South
in
Korea.
Golf.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, South Korea, right?
Yep.
Okay. The only way to get out is if you earn a gold medal in the Asian Games or any medal in the Olympics. Now I'm going to take this story a step further.
Okay.
Tom Kim last fall went over and played in the Open de France. He finished sixth. First time he'd ever seen the golf course. So we know it's a good golf course fit. He finished sixth last October. Okay. Yep. And you say to yourself, why is Tom Kim in the middle of his off season going all the way over there to play? So people were asking him, they say, like, are you doing this for a reason? He said, yeah, I'm on a scouting trip for next summer. This, we talked about motivation. This event means something to the South Koreans, more so than I think you and I could ever imagine. So the Tom Kim pick is really, really something we should all be paying attention to. And if there's a number, I would think Tom Kim would be favored. If there's a number for just a medal, like not top five, top 10, but to earn a medal, right? Tom Kim should be the number. He should be favored ahead of Scottie Scheffler in my mind, because that guy needs, wants, is all about meddling this week, and he's been working on it for almost a year, going over there and playing the DP World Tour last fall.
And he's trending. I'm telling you, his ball striking is getting better the whole bit. I like Tom Kim. So I stretched it 100%. Down. I think that he was at 30. He's at 28 right now. So yeah, there you go. All right. Yeah. So you said there was one other. Did you mention it? You said Shane Lowry, and then you said maybe one other down in the 30s. Did you mention his name?
Kim was the other one. For me.
Kim. Okay. All right.
100%.
All right, cool. Yep. All right. So let's go to the silver.
All right.
And so, Connors was, look, I would just love to see Connors win a medal. I think him winning the gold would be phenomenal. I'll give you a name. Not going to be a big surprise, but you go back to having some experience here. He's won here before. We know his ball striking can be elite. We know a short game can be good enough. These types of things. Tommy Fleetwood, the champion of the Open de France 2017.
Yeah.
I'll throw that name out there for the first name coming in silver medal.
A lot of people are going to talk about Tommy Fleetwood this week. They're going to go back to his days with Molly Wood at the 2018 Ryder Cup. Remember, that was with a partner.
Yeah,
it was with Francisco Molinari.
I don't think they missed a shot. I honestly don't think they missed a shot. Either
way. Well, he did lose a singles match when he didn't have a partner.
No, when they played together. No, when they played together, they never missed a shot.
Oh no.
It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable.
They fed off each other. They were fantastic. And all the credit in the world to him. He played amazing that week. Okay, great. Let's not use the Ryder Cup as a way to handicap a stroke play event. It's totally different animal, right? And it's totally different golf course setup. What concerns me about Tommy Fleetwood and what I can't figure out, Travis, you got to help me out here. He won the 2017 Open de France. He's played there six times. The other five, he missed a cut. That doesn't concern you at all as far as his performance this week? Because he's coming in at a number right around 20-1, which is up there with the Shanes and these guys that, certainly, I mean, he's of that caliber of player, but he's never won on the PGA Tour. I know we're talking about second place, but we're talking about a high finish in a very elite field where he's got to take down some Xanders and some Scotties and some Rahms and some Rorys, right? The guy's got five missed cuts in six tries and a win. Which one of those is the outlier performance?
This year, so let's go to these big fields because he's got to take some of these guys down. He was third at the Masters. He was 16th at the U.S. Open. He missed the cut at the Open. All right, so that's a little bit of a blunder there. He was 34th at the Scottish, had a bad putting week at the Scottish Open.
Yeah.
I look at Fleetwood and I'm so impressed with the driver. I'm so impressed with the iron game. We know that his short game can be good enough. It's just, his putting can, it just seems like he can be a little hot and cold. I mean, you go back to where it's been. Maybe that's the excuse there. Maybe it's the greens that he doesn't like. I think those are valid points. He wins it 1 year, misses the cut the other five. Is it the surfaces on the green? You know, that all of a sudden he just, I don't think we can really look that up. But I think those are some pretty good bullets shooting through Fleetwood, who is probably going to be a little bit chalky, who has played pretty, who has won here. Has got obviously a number of top 25s, top 20s this year. Yeah, that's some valid points there on Fleetwood. I think I like Connors over Fleetwood for sure, from a consistency standpoint. But then Connors doesn't have the experience either that Fleetwood does. Good points.
For silver medal, I love the Corey Connors to medal. I think that not having to win, and even though his putting's been getting a lot better, not having to win, just getting into that like second place spot is like really kind of suits, and it would be total like modus operandi for, you know, like standard business procedure for Corey Connors would be to get a silver medal at this thing, you know? And you know, another guy I think about who really fits this golf course is a guy like Abe Anser, like that style of player. And coming from a smaller country, this means a lot more to those folks because there are other athletes there that are really working hard in order to try to win medals. And they're not sending 400 athletes like the United States of America. They might be sending 40, you know? Mm-hmm. And some of these smaller countries, I think it means a lot more. So to me, something like that, you know, somebody like an Abe Anser, and at some point we got to touch upon, there's two home guys there, right? No, I mean, this golf course was built by the French Golf Federation in order to host the Open de France, right? So who's better suited to win a medal there than Matthew Pavon or Victor Perez, both in the field, both from France, and both going to have a ton of support?
Yeah. Yeah, and you and I have debated those two before. And Perez, Pavon, of course, he's had a pretty good year on PGA Tour this year. But Perez probably, what do you think? A little better player, you think, Victor?
Well, I mean, it's tough to say because Pavon just went out and won Torrey, yep. And that's a place where you got to put the ball and play off the tee. Yep. Hello, Le Golf National, right?
That kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, Pavon's really put it together here all of a sudden this year.
Yeah, I would say long term, Perez has been better resume, but Pavon in recent months or 2024, Pavon's been pretty solid. He was good at the Masters. He was good at the U.S. Open. So all of that, you know, Pavon, his odds are lower to gold medal. So that makes sense, but both of them have been playing well lately. And, I think they'll be interesting. I think they have to be an option to medal with the amount of support they're going to get.
All right, I want to go back to this silver discussion because, you know, obviously the big names, we know we're kind of moving past some of the big games. We gave you our big names. We gave you some of our leads there. We didn't talk about Ludwig, but we know, you know, Ludwig, no one's going to be surprised if he medals. But let me give you some names. Would you take Hovland over Fleetwood to medal?
Ooh.
Would you take
Neiman? I would take Fleetwood in those two.
Would you take Neiman? There's another guy from LIV who won earlier this year and then kind of cooled off.
Yeah. Neiman was 10th in Japan. I mean, Mito was tied for third in that playoff. I don't know. Neiman, people keep bringing him up in these major-like events, and it's just not working out. World-class player.
Yeah, Joaquin.
Neiman, yep. Super, super talented. But if I have a choice against Neiman in that area, I'm probably taking the other choice, and you haven't even given me a name. But like,
well, you said Fleetwood. So I'm just kind of going back.
I'd go Fleetwood over Neiman. Yeah.
And these are some of the names that are around him. You've already talked about Lowry, who you would give the lean. Talked about Kim, who you'd give the lean. Connors is there, who I would give him the lean. I mean, would you go Norin over Fleetwood? You know, it's interesting, right? Some of these in the middle of the board.
The lean.
Hideki, you would?
I'm sorry.
Okay. You would give Hideki the lean over Fleetwood?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Fitzpatrick?
Yeah. No, Fleetwood.
Okay. All right. Now we're getting down in here into the 50s and the 60s. Abe Anser is an interesting one. That's an interesting name to bring up. It's funny. Some of the when you think about LIV, I don't follow LIV obviously as intently as I do the PGA Tour, but I do follow it. I do watch it a little bit. But it's not top of mind, top of radar. Maybe it should be more so. Kind of similar to probably what I'm doing with the DP World Tour. I do watch it. I do follow. I do know the names and obviously do some research on it, but not as much as the PGA Tour. And I think Abraham Answer is one of those names that since leaving the PGA Tour has probably – his name's been blanketed a little bit. You know, like to me, like Abraham was kind of on the rise there a little bit on the PGA Tour, and you knew who he was. And, you know, I liked him and his game and who he was with – you know, he had that that tequila that he has.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name, but anyway. But he's one of those guys, right? You know, kind of out of sight, out of mind, maybe a little bit with Liv, with Abe Mantor. But this, I think, you bring up some valid points that this is going to mean something to him for sure. Has been off the radar, I think, for the most part on the national stage, and now you come here, limited field. Probably a pretty good golf course for him too. So Answer is interesting at he's down there at 90. I mean, Bezuidenhut's ahead of him at 75. Pavon's at 66. I mean, there you go. I mean, that's all you need to see, isn't it? Pavon and Bezuidenhut are that much shorter odds than Abraham Answer. Isn't that kind of speak to what I just said? Still there?
I lost you there for a second. Just
I was going to say, but doesn't that kind of speak to what I was saying there with Answer, and that, you know, he's kind of lost some of his mustard a little bit outside, out of mind. He's at 90-1 right now, and Bezuidenhut's at 75, and Pavon's at 66.
Yeah. So here's what I would say in watching Liv for now a couple of years, and I think the middle class of Liv, your Abe Answers, your Carlos Ortiz, I think that those guys have not benefited from going over Sebastian to that tour Munoz. And not being constantly pushed by, they're not constantly pushed by 140 plus guys on a weekly basis that are coming from the Korn Ferry Tour. There's no feeder system there. I don't know that those guys have benefited from that relationship. The course fit is really good for me with Abe Answer. And he's also one of those guys to me that has kind of risen during majors in past years. And I feel like, again, the motivation to win a medal from a smaller country like Mexico would be a really big deal. One that I don't think you and I could like understand the importance of.
Yeah. You know, I mean, he won WGC. He won St. Jude back in 2021. Oh, yeah. Yep. Gosh, and you look at the level of play for Abraham Answer during 2021. I mean, this dude was a top 10, top 15 machine. Tour championship that year, he finished ninth.
Great scorer.
When he was on the PGA Tour, you look at some of his run in the majors. He was ninth at the PGA in 2022. He was 11th at the Open. He was 39th at the Masters. And so you fast forward, now he's on Liv, and his open, let's see, he played at the Open. He finished 58th at the Open. And then last year, that's the only major he's played in this year, was the Open where he finished 58th. Yeah. And then last year at the Open, he was 49th, 54th at the U.S. Open, missed the cut at the PGA. It's just crazy. Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, I think to your point, Abe Answer, not being pushed as much. And is he a better player today than he was? God, it'd be hard to convince me of it. I mean, based off how he used to play on the PGA Tour against these great players, winning the WGC, top 10 at the Tour Championship. I mean, my goodness. So,
I mean,
maybe this is big stage. He's back. You know, he's only played in one major. Means something to him. You know, maybe you have a valid point there. Maybe he medals.
You're looking for an edge? You get official world golf ranking points this week. You don't get them for Liv. So this is a huge and this is a good strength of field. Yeah. I mean, you got eight guys in the top 10 in the world in the field. Like, you're going to get some serious points here. This is a big deal to certain people. And I feel like, again, what is your motivation for being here? So
got like any, you know, so Guido's in the field, right? Migliosa. He's a fun player over in the DP World Tour. Fun player. We don't see much over in the States. I wish he would come over. He's had some decent success here on the course on the DP World Tour. I mean, You give Guido any here, I'll give you two names. Guido, guys we don't see a lot. And then Thorbjørn Olsen, who Thorbjørn we've seen in the President's Cup. Thorbjørn has played this golf course pretty well in the DP World Tour. And there's two names that you start getting down to 90 and 100. you know, I wrote them down as some long shots, maybe to sprinkle in on a bronze medal.
So I was waiting for the bronze medal to come out, and okay. The two Italians were going to be my okay. choices down there okay. for the bronze medal. Guido being one, he's a past champion there at the Open de France. He won at 16 under par in 2022. Yep. He's played well in the last month, you know, a couple top 10 finishes there, you know, on the DP World Tour. So, I mean, the guy's in good form. He's won there before. I mean, so like, for, you know, all signs are pointing to the right place for him there. And also mm-hmm. Matteo Manassero has really there resurrected his career. Really and you have. And I kept, we were talking about this before the Open, and I said, I want you to do like a timeline, mm-hmm. a case study on his, on I'm his working swing. On that. And yeah, I think that would be really, I would love that podcast. It'd be really yeah. fascinating to me. But I, again, coming from Italy, I think both of those guys, they're, you know, Manassero and, you know, being like with the Molinaris and the whole Ryder Cup culture over there. I think that the Europeans are going to be very strong over here. And that's not to say that like the Corey Connors or the Abe Ancers coming from other parts of the world, but like, geez, I think these guys are just going to be that much more fired up and that much more motivated to get the job done, treating this almost like it's home field, in a Ryder Cup type of, ecosystem that we live in. Right. So, I mean, even Rory yesterday was playing St. Andrews and somebody was yelling like, hey, I'm from the Bronx. You know, hey, Rory, what's up? And he's like, you're not going to like me next year. You know, yeah. like, and it's like, these guys live for this. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there was the comment today, Shane and Rory were in the press room and they were asking about the length of the rough. And Rory was like, I don't know. I wasn't in the rough in 2018.
Like, oh, then he said, ask the Americans.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah. whoa. So like, yeah. we're just throwing That's bars left and right. These guys, it's their culture. They live for that. So mm-hmm. bronze medal, I like one of those Italians to make some noise.
Yeah, I do too. I had Manassero written down. He is playing. It's cool to see him working himself back. Guido can put it together over there. I think that's a real fun player to watch. And the only other name that I circled that I think is going to be interesting to see how he does, who's kind of, you know, done some nice things on LIV, is David Puig. Is it?
Sure, yeah.
Did I say that right? Puig or Puig?
Yep. Puig.
Puig. Puig. Yeah. Yeah. He's another guy that I wish we could watch a little bit more. And how he would stack up with, I think, the deeper fields, on the PGA Tour and see where he would stack up with that. But, you know, the only name down there I think maybe worth a look's Mito. You know, Mito showed up, at, you know, it was in that playoff for the bronze medal, and Mito is a flusher. I mean, Mito can, he can go, you know, from a ball striking standpoint. Yeah. I don't think I'll go that far down, but I think I'll go.
You've
as
got
far
Emiliano
as
the Grillo down there too.
Yeah, who you I got, liked last week, who kind of ran up, who ran up the leaderboard last week a little bit as well. Yep.
Yeah, and it's his second Olympics too, Grillo. He played in 2016 down in South America. So, you know, Grillo would be, he'd probably the furthest I'd go down there. I don't know that, you know, some of these other names down here, it's a pull, you know. Fabrizio Zanotti, he's a few Paraguay. So,
all right, so we got Morikawa's gonna now. Rahm's gonna win the gold. Tom Kim's gonna finish silver, and either Morikawa or Connor's probably bronze. That's probably how it's gonna go.
I like. I mean, sounds good.
I'd like to see, honestly, I'd like to see another like 6-7 person playoff. That'd be cool.
Oh, I'm living for that. I mean, it's going to be tough to change my mood since Sunday, Travis. So if you give me a 7-man playoff for third, I'm in. I'm all in for it.
Wow. You watch any of the, Olympics to this point? Do you,
If you're not watching the coverage that has Snoop Dogg, then that's all I'm here for right now. Hearing Snoop Dogg call badminton is like beyond entertaining. It's so good. You know, I mean, it's like, there's a lot of fun things that they're doing and I appreciate that. There's been a big press release this week that the PGA Tour is going to do some fun things with the FedEx Cup playoffs. Yep. I am all for a world where we're doing things like what you and I are doing right now, which is have some fun, you know, have these discussions and create all sorts of new golf fans. So for me, I injected into my veins Snoop Dogg for another 10 days in Paris.
Maybe we should see. We'll see if we get Snoop Dogg on the podcast. Have him break down some events. I'll reach out to his agents when he's done with calling badminton. And it's crazy to see a lot of these sports too that you normally don't see. Like this handball is kind of fast. Seth and I watched it for like 30 minutes the other day. You know, these guys are running around with the handball. But man, the swimming is something. I just find myself glued to swimming and cheering on, you know, the athletes.
How about this one? Could you just jump off of that high platform in the diving center? I'm not even saying dive. Could you jump from 30 meters up there?
Yeah, I would definitely jump. But not, I mean, watching what they do and that body control, it almost seems unreal. It's just like, what? You know, and the gymnastics and what they're doing with their bodies, it's absolutely insane, the athletes, and watching it. So, yeah, it's been fun. So golf takes center stage on Thursday.
Yeah.
And, you know, we gave them some things to look at. We come back next week, fun week next week, Wyndham Championship.
Absolutely.
Kind of take a look at some of the bubble boys before we head into the playoffs. We have a good stretch coming up in August. As I mentioned, Chris Coma is joining me, and we'll launch that pod on Wednesday as we catch up with him on a lot of stuff that you're seeing with Xander right now and the success that he's having, and then just a whole slew of other things. So look forward to that. Keith, you're the man. 121 last week. We're not going to probably get those odds this – well, who knows? Maybe we will. Probably not going to get those odds this week, but – you know, maybe a gold medal in there. That'd be pretty cool too.
Yeah. Playoffs. I'll be on the road all 3 weeks. So insights will be running rampant on this show. So everybody Fantastic. Tune in. Can't wait.
All right. Keith Stewart at Read the Line. Thanks, man.
Peace.
Sweet.